If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read the first 14 verses. And after verse 2, verses 3 to 14 is actually one sentence in the Greek text. It's been divided up in our English translations, but the Apostle Paul loved to just string things along. Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Our Heavenly Father, I've read a treasure of truth in these sentences, in these words. Help us to dig out the riches that are in them. Amen. I'm sure this year lots of preachers and churches are going to be talking about having 2020 vision. I've already heard about lots of churches, pastors having a 2020 theme. So instead of swimming upstream against the tide, I'm just going to jump in the water with everybody else. I'm sure it might be a little crowded, but I'm sure the water is going to be fine. So my contribution to this new year will be to help you gain a clearer vision. Recently, I went to the eye doctor for my annual eye exam. You know the procedure. You look into his machine, and he puts the different lenses on here, and he says, is it clear now or now? Is it clear one or two? How about three or four? You know the procedure, And the more corrective the lenses, the better you see. So that's what I want to do this year, to help you have a better vision. And more specifically, I hope to help you understand a better reason for your existing. That's why I've entitled the sermon, the subtitle to the sermon is, not only getting a clearer vision for the new year, but finding your why. Finding your why is a key to being productive or successful in anything you do. People who study or teach the theory of behavior change talk about five phases or stages that people go through in changing their behavior. There's the contemplative, the pre-contemplative stage. That's where you're not even thinking about needing to make a change. Then there's the contemplative stage, where you begin to think, yeah, maybe I do need to change. Maybe you go to the doctor and the doctor lays out some tests like he did to my, I have an older brother over 30 years ago who was drinking and drugging and has a wonderful testimony of salvation. But over 30 years ago, he was at his wit's end and he went to the doctor and they did all kinds of tests and the doctor threw the exam results down on the table and said, if you don't stop drinking today, you'll be dead in 6 months. So he began to think about making a change in his life. And then you take the preparation stage. So you go into the preparation phase where you begin to prepare to make that change. In my brother's case, he had to prepare to be out of work for a month and to go into a rehab treatment program. Which he successfully completed, but then he had to the fourth stage, or the fourth phase of behavior change is to take action. You've got to take action and make those corrections and those changes, after which then you can enter into the fifth phase, which is the maintenance phase. And this is important, for example, when it comes to wanting to quit smoking or lose weight or change jobs. You go through these changes, these phases rather, according to the experts on this. But it's in the contemplation phase that one thinks about and ponders his or her why. Why do I want to make this change? Why do I want to quit smoking? Why do I want to lose weight? Why do I want to change jobs? It's when you truly understand why you want to do something that you can then begin to prepare for the desired change and then take action to achieve what you've prepared for. And after that, then hopefully you can maintain the changes that you made. But when the change doesn't come as fast as you think it should, or you relapse and go back into old behaviors, then you often have to go back to the contemplation phase and ask yourself the why question. Why do I want to do what I want to do? Why do I want to make this change? And it's asking that why question that's very important. Finding out or understanding your why is as important as understanding your who. And you might remember last year from Scripture was from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then Romans chapter 12 that I helped you, or I tried to show you from Scripture, your who. That is your identity in Christ as saints. And I said that when you get your, when you understand your who, your what will fall in line. What you are supposed to do flows from who you are. In other words, when you understand that God has chosen you and set you apart to belong to Him as His son or daughter, remember, you are dedicated to God because of the mercies of God for the glory of God. When you remember that, then you're able to understand that your behavior needs to match up with your belonging. Your activity as a follower of Christ needs to flow from your identity as a child of God. Remember what Paul said, stop conforming to this world, but keep on being transformed by the renovation of your minds. See, we're not just going to leave last year's theme behind and not carry it into the new year, are we? The trouble with a lot of people who name the name of Jesus Christ is that they don't know or realize who they are, so their what, let alone their how, is out of sync with their who. And the same goes for understanding your why. If you don't realize why you're alive, then you won't have a clue as to what to do with the life that you have. So this year I'm presenting a theme that I hope will help you answer the reason why you are on this planet. I'm hoping to help you find the reason to get out of bed every morning. Here's what I'm getting at. It's been said, and I've seen this posted many times on social media. It's been tweeted and retweeted and promoted in many different ways, but this has been popularly said. The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. Not a few preachers and authors have used this quotation in their sermons or writings. It's often attributed to Mark Twain, but that claim has never been substantiated. It's essentially anonymous. One preacher who used the quotation went on to answer the question as to why we were born. He told his congregation, "This is why we were born, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves." An author by the name of Anita Canfield wrote a self-help book back in 1985 entitled A Woman and Her Self-Esteem. In it, she cited the quotation and added, "And why were you born? You were born to bless the lives of others. You were born to make a contribution." Another author by the name of Rachel Albert expanded on the quotation this way. She said, "If you fail to tell your kids why we are here, you have missed the opportunity to figure out what motivates them and gets them excited. This is the most important key to getting kids' cooperation and empowering them to help the world." And I submit to you that people of all ages, from the littlest ones on up to Miss Ruth's age, need to know their why. I didn't quote these individuals as any kind of authority for us because our authority is Scripture, but only to show that this idea of understanding why you were born is a big deal to the religious and the non-religious world, and I think it ought to be a big deal to us too. Do you know why you were born? You may know the date of your birth, but do you understand your mandate? Why do you exist? What's your raison d'etre? Now, that's just a fancy French term that I heard. Raison d'etre. It simply means your reason for being, your reason for existing. What's your sole or ultimate purpose for being on this planet? What's your reason for sitting there breathing in God's free air and expelling your carbon dioxide? Do you know your why today? That's what I want to help you understand this year. I'm talking about fueling your personal life, your relationship to Jesus Christ, your marriage and family, if you're married and have kids, your church life, your interaction with and your witness to the world. Why is so important? And there are multiple directions to this year's theme. In fact, there are three directions, and I need three volunteers. And since this is the Children's Sunday, I'm wondering if I could get some volunteers from the children. Do we have a volunteer? Do we have, first of all right, very good, Jose. Come on up here. All right. Very good, just stand right there. All right, does somebody want to, Tristan, do you want to come join Jose? You don't, okay. Oh, all right, come on up here, Ezra. Come on up here, Ezra. Now we need a female. We need a lady here. I don't want to, you know, be gender. Who should we call?
Unfortunately, I don't know
anybody. You don't know here? Anybody? How about Laura? Laurel? You want to? Yes, Laurel. Okay, all right. Okay. As I said, this year's theme is multi-directional. In fact, I tell you what, let me come on over here and pull this over here, and you come on over here this way. Just stand right here. Very good. Very good. Okay. The first direction is what comes down to us from God. Okay, so I want you to hold that just like that. Both hands. Hold it up. Well, you don't want to cover your face unless you want to. All right, the first direction is what comes down to us from God. The second direction is what goes up from us to God. Something comes down from God to us, and then something goes up to us from God. And the third direction, I want you to hold this one that way, is what goes out through us to others. Now let me show you what I mean by this. You turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And keep holding it. Keep holding their signs up there, buddy. All right. All right. You're going to be here for a while. So don't lock your knees so you don't faint, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want you to read that verse from whatever translation you have. I want you to go ahead and read it aloud. Ephesians 1, 3, on your mark, get set, read. All right, circle that verse, asterisk it, mark it in some way. That is our key verse for this year. There's going to be a whole lot more scripture to come throughout the year, but because this theme is found all throughout the Bible, and I'm so excited to share this discovery with you. I had my eyes open to this. I got the vision last year, probably mid-year, when I'm going through my Bible reading. It was like the lights came on, because this theme is all throughout Scripture. So you look at verse 3, and three times the word blessed or blessing occurs. And here we see the first two directions that I've mentioned. The main action recorded here is the fact that God has blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done what? Blessed us. Everybody say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I don't think I heard that. Everybody say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Everybody say, God has blessed me. You see, that's the downward direction. It is a fact that God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us. God has taken the initiative from heaven to do something to and for us, and that is to bless us so that each of you can say where you're sitting today, I am what? Blessed. Now, what should our response be to God's blessing? What's the first word in the sentence? Some people have praised, some have blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or praise be to God. That's the second direction of this year's theme. The blessing came down to us from God, and the blessing goes up, or the praise goes up from us to God. This is also seen in verses 6, 12, and 14, where the apostle writes, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And verse 12, he says, to the praise of his glory. And verse 14, again, he repeats himself, to the praise of his glory. Now look and tell me what we've been blessed with. Every spiritual blessing. Now, does it say every material blessing? Does it say every worldly blessing? Does it say every earthly blessing? What does it say? Every spiritual blessing. Now, where are those blessings found? In the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places. So if your blessings are in the heavenly realms, can they be taken away from you? Can some earthling do anything to affect your blessing in the heavenly realms? Absolutely no. An earthling can take your wealth, he can take your health, he can steal your car, he can burn your house, but you can still sit there and say what? I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. And as we dig into this passage, as we're going to do over the weeks, we're going to see how rich those blessings are, because he talks about the riches of his grace. Now, is heaven a safe place to have your blessings? Is heaven a secure place? The Apostle Peter thought so. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at this chapter 2 later on this year. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." So I think heaven is a safe place. And that is where our blessings are. You see, folks, so too many of us are looking for our blessings here on earth. Too many of us have our vision cast down to the ground where our vision ought to be cast up to heaven. Because that's where our blessings are. But there's a secret. There's another place or person that's the secret to having these blessings. And who is that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual places in heavenly places. In Christ. That's the secret. You see, if you're not in Christ, you have no spiritual blessings. All you have are going to be earthly blessings, material blessings, things, if you're not in Christ. But if you're in Christ, you have all these spiritual blessings here. And it doesn't matter what your material blessings are, because you are richer than anybody else on planet Earth. But if you have all the riches of planet Earth and you don't have the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, you are the most poverty-stricken of all people on this earth. But now there's one more direction here. Hosea's done a great job. The blessings come down from heaven, from God to us. The blessing or the praise goes back up to heaven from us. But there's one more direction. You see, verse 6 talks about verses 6 and 7 have a word that sums up the entire Christian life from start to finish. Look at verses 6 and 7. This word is praised in verse 6 and it's prized in verse 7. Can you see what the word is? What is the word that's praised in verse 6, prized in verse 7? Grace. Grace is the word. And that's another one of our blessings. And I want to show you what God intends for you to do with His grace-based blessings. Look at Ephesians 2. You see, Ephesians 2 talks about our miserable condition and then God's merciful intervention when He said in verse 5 that even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His what? Grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to walk in them. So the good works then are the blessing that goes out from us to others. So God has blessed us. We bless Him in praise, and we bless others by good works. So here's your theme for 2020. Thank you very much. Here's your, you're welcome. You can go back to your seat. Now let's give Him a hand. Here's our theme for 2020. Blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. God has blessed you. Everyone has the same spiritual blessings. We don't all have the same material circumstances, but everybody has the same spiritual blessings. We are blessed. But we're not to be sponges. What does a sponge do? It just soaks up water, right? A sponge, you just keep pouring water into a sponge. At some point, it reaches a what? Saturation point. You can't get any more water in it. And in order to get anything out of it, you've got to what? You've got to squeeze it. And that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to squeeze you. And He wants to squeeze you in a direction vertically where you render back to Him praise. I don't know how incredibly selfish and ungrateful I have been so many, many times in my life. When the blessings have just come down from God and I don't give much back to Him as far as praise. But He doesn't want just that two direction between us and Him. Oh, that's wonderful. We could be all copacetic and have a wonderful time together. But He says, no, I have put you on this earth so that you can be a blessing to others. I want to make you a channel of my grace into the lives of those people who are just as desperate for it as you once were. And if we remember where we were, we might have a bigger heart for people in their need. If we would remember Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, and our own miserable condition, we might more be inclined to help others come to know that same grace that we have experienced. God put you on this planet. God left you on this planet after He saved you so that you could be a blessing to other people. And that's our theme for this year. And I'm so excited about this one. of this is going to be fleshed out in future messages. We bless God by means of praise, and we bless others by means of good works. So let me conclude in this one passage of Scripture, just this one text, these few words, we see the source of our blessings, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the fact of our blessing. He blessed us. You know, you might think, you might be sitting there and thinking, well, I don't feel blessed. That doesn't matter how you feel. You need to understand. You need to get the clear vision. You sit there blessed. And your blessings are not paltry. They are abundant. They're every spiritual blessing. That's the scope of our blessings. We lack nothing spiritually. The realm of our blessing is in the heavenly realms, the heavenly places. The secret to our blessings is in Christ. And I love the Apostle Paul. Of all the apostles, he has written the most and used that phrase the most. That is the most secure place where anyone can be in Christ. Because you see, in Adam, there is nothing but judgment and wrath and condemnation rightfully deserved because of our sins. But in Christ, the Bible says there is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the secret to our blessings. People say, how can you be so blessed? Look at you. Look at you. Look at what's happened to you. Maybe you've just got cancer. Maybe you just, you know, had a financial setback. Maybe this happened or this happened to me. Look at you. What's your secret? Nothing's changed with Jesus. Nothing's changed with Jesus. And I am safe in Him. He's my secret. And the substance or content of our blessings is laid out for us here. What do those blessings consist of? And we're going to see this in later messages, God willing. What are those blessings? Being chosen by Him. Being chosen by Him before the foundation of the world. Being predestined to Himself. To Himself. Being redeemed. Having the forgiveness of our sins. And much, much more. So since today is Communion Sunday, I want to conclude by getting you to focus on Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us, because He's so generous. He's so generous. Maybe you need to make a change in your life. Maybe you need to make some spiritual change. Some of you may have made some New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And that's fine. And I don't know what stage of behavior change you're in, whether you're in the pre-contemplative or the contemplative or the preparation phase or the action phase or the maintenance phase. It really doesn't matter, because we all need to think about our why and let that flow from what God has done for us and to us and what He wants to do in and through us. And let that motivate then us. Let that fuel us in our praise and worship to God, because He is the most worthy. He is worthy of all of our praise, and in our doing good to other people, because it's too good to keep to ourselves, isn't it? This forgiveness of our sins, the blessing that having all of your trespasses, all of your offenses against God forgiven, is too good to keep to ourselves. So not only in our proclamation, but in our practice, we need to show grace to others. I'm going to ask the elders to come.